also put on this work, Every Man's Battle Workshop, which deals with sexual integrity issues. I'd love to say that I have a great memory because I went to this a year or so ago, but I don't. You just ask my wife. I have no great memory. But thankfully, I got the audio CD. So if something that you like kind of strikes you and you'd like to hear more about it, because I'm going to take 8 hours and condense it down to about 20 minutes. So if there's something more that you liked out of it, they have a lot more content in it than I could ever give you. So because this is Celebrate Recovery, we have to have an acrostic. It's just kind of built into the DNA. So tonight's acrostic is New Mono Ultramicroscopic Silico-Volcano Coniosis. Yes, we're going to be here all night doing this thing. Actually, I couldn't come up with an acrostic, so I just made one up. Okay, so triggers. Hey, go back one slide, would you? There you go. Okay, so I'm going to start off with talking about triggers and something you maybe most of you haven't heard of, because I'd never heard about it, called the three I's. So triggers, internal triggers, are stuff like feelings and emotions that kind of set you off. For me, like I said, I struggle with lack of anger, so experiencing anger kind of sets my teeth on edge, or basically causes a lot of anxiety. Other ones would be fear, overwhelmed. What are some feelings? This is audience participation moment. What are some other feelings that you experience that can be a trigger for you? Feeling dismissed. That's my wife. I've experienced that one before. I've done that to her several occasions. I heard something else over here. Loneliness. That was also one of mine as well. Abandonment. Confusion. What was that play? Oh, broken record. Okay. Anything else?
Fatigue.
Yeah. Anybody ever heard hungry, angry, lonely, tired? There was also one called sachet, but I don't know what the definition is, so I can't give you that one. All right. So external triggers are people, places, and things that can set you off. For me, one of them would be dealing with my mom, you know, the angry mother thing. I don't know how to deal with that, so that will set me off. That's a person that would set me off. My wife can be a trigger, not all the time, not most of the time, thankfully. Getting into an argument, since I don't deal with anger and conflict very well. So what are some triggers? Not long sentences. This isn't story time. This is phrase time. What are some other triggers, people, places, and things that can set you off?
Bars,
being in bars. Bars and cars, planes, trains, and automobiles. Anything. You struggle with overeating?
I struggle with eating, period.
Okay. Oh, you struggle with undereating, I think.
Family reunion.
Family reunion. Welcome to the holidays. No wonder they're stressful. Okay, so when our triggers go off, by the way, when the internal triggers go off, you know, you're feeling something, you don't like it, you'll probably notice that you're more vulnerable or you're more apt to notice or get tripped up by the external triggers. Why is that? Because when the internal triggers, you're unsettled, you're anxious, or whatever you're feeling, the external triggers are going to be there because you want to self-soothe. I want to make these internal, I want to make the unsettled part of me go away, so I'm more apt to be aware of, or at least encounter, or get sucked in by the external triggers, the people, places, things. I want to go do something to make these feelings go away. Speaking of which, wounds in ourselves, the three I's. This is a part I hadn't heard before. So the three I's are insignificant. These are questions that we kind of grow up wanting to answer these for ourselves. Am I significant? Am I significant? Am I potent? Or do I have powerful? Or am I in control? Am I competent? Am I good enough? Can I do whatever this thing is? The problem is, as we grow up, our families of origin kind of answer the question for us at times, or circumstances. I don't feel significant. I'm not valuable. I don't matter. I'm not powerful. I'm impotent. I'm out of control. or I'm incompetent. I feel I can't, I'm never good enough. Anybody get those messages from their family growing up? Yeah. I didn't get them directly from my parents. They never said those kind of messages of you don't matter, you don't, you know, you'll never amount to anything or something like that. But I experienced them anyways. Got molested as a kid. That will certainly say I'm powerless. I'm out of control. Bunch of bullying right after that. I'm completely powerless over this. So if anything hits that impotent or incompetence, that's another big one for me, they're big wounds. They'll set you off. They'll cause all these internal triggers. All these feelings come stirring up as these things get hit. All right. Does God see you as any one of these? Not yet. Go back. Does God see you as insignificant, as impotent, or as incompetent? So we really aren't that. But the messages, the same messages we got growing up, says, maybe I am. That's the worst thing, is maybe it's true. The things that I heard growing up, maybe they're true. And I'm deathly afraid of it. So I'll run from it. We become sensitive to anything that touches these wounds, these three eyes. We learn to push back or run from them. Also, we become sensitive to anything that counters them, that soothes us and makes them go away. So we'll get drawn to those, which, by the way, some addictions, the things we started with, some compulsive behaviors, they mask those things. They push them out of our mind. They'll make them go away, in a sense, so we don't experience them, which is why there's a draw towards some of this stuff. By the way, the bigger and deeper the wounds or the trauma that you experienced, the more our acting out behaviors will get explosive or more extreme. And I've seen this with a couple of people where I've heard their stories, and it's like, oh my gosh, and then you hear their current day acting out, and it kind of, it fits. No wonder their behavior is so out of control. Just a thought. So if you're crazy, or if you're acting out really bad, there's a reason for it. So when one of these three eyes get whacked, we often need someone to remind us that they really aren't true. Kind of Pat talked about this last week, those shame messages or the lies he believed growing up. Often we need somebody else to come alongside us and counter them, because we're too caught up in them, we believe them, or we're getting sucked into them, or maybe they're true. We need somebody else to say, no, they're really not true, or you aren't incompetent, you aren't insignificant. So, give you a live example of this. Okay, not a live example, I'll tell you a story about it. I learned this, I guess, December of 2014, early the next year. I had a fight with somebody at work, or we got into a conflict, and I was really feeling angry at the guy. I really wanted to press in on him, and I don't do anger very well, so that was really upsetting to me, and I'm just kind of, I don't know what to do with this. So I knew enough from the workshop I went to, I need to call somebody. So I called a couple people, and of course, they're not home. So I get no answers there. So I ended up calling Lee. Lee has no clue about any of this three-eye stuff that I just learned. So I'm trying to, I want him to tell me that I don't feel I'm not incompetent. I really want him to tell me that, but he has no clue what I'm asking him to do. So I have to tell him. I told him all about I'm angry, I'm ticked off, and everything else like that. And when I get to the point of, I need to hear you say that I'm not incompetent, I go from being angry at the guy to, you know, my voice is choking up, and I'm just about ready to cry, and I'm driving. and Lee, fortunately, I called the right guy, because Lee happens to work with me, so he's seen me at work. And thankfully, I'm not incompetent at work, and Lee was able to say, you're not Jeff. You're not incompetent. Until I heard it from his voice, I was still struggling with it, and I sucked into it. And so I needed to hear it from him, even though I know it inside myself, at that point that I'm so triggered, I can't take it in. I need somebody else to tell me it. Okay, now you can go to the next slide. All right, acting out. Has anybody seen all this stuff before? No? Okay, that's good, because otherwise I'd be boring you to death. All right, so this is the addiction cycle or the acting out cycle. So it starts with triggers, which is why we talked about that at the beginning. So you get triggered by something, and then you get you go into preoccupation, which is you're kind of, if for particularly for those of us who have an addiction or struggle with an addiction, you're starting to think about your acting out. I'm going to, maybe I'm going to take a hit on a smoke. Maybe I'm going to go take a drink. Or, hey, I remember, you know, I had a great time the last time when I got, I don't think that I got blind drunk and passed out, but I'm thinking about the partying I did. So you're kind of preoccupied and you're obsessing, not obsessing, but thinking a lot about this. What's that doing to you? It's taking the thing that you're really struggling with, the trigger, and kind of putting it into the back seat. I'm pushing that thing away. And I'm starting to get a little hit from the thing that I do that helps me feel better. So you get into preoccupation state. After that, you go into rituals. If you buy a box of cigarettes, what's the first thing you do after you release all the money away? Right. You pack it. If you do two, is that what you do? I don't know. I don't chew. All right. So you go into some rituals, some setting up before you act out. So you kind of move beyond the preoccupation of just thinking about it. Now you're doing something with it. For me, that was, for those who are porn addicts, making time or making sure I was alone late at night waiting for mom or for the wife. Boy, well, Freudian slip. Who, me? Don't have mom issues? No. Even though I just heard an hour of it just before I got here in the counseling session that said, you got mom issues. anyway, so you go into the, for me, it was waiting till the wife went to sleep so I can get out on the computer, or staying late at work. So does anybody know some of the rituals they do, if you're willing to share? Crickets. Okay, we'll take crickets as a, I don't think I want to tell you this. Okay, so the rituals are the things you set up before you actually act out. Now, if you're into the rituals and you're right about to act out, the only way you're going to stop is if another person intervenes. Basically, a third party shows up. You hear the footsteps, if you're a porn addict, you hear the footsteps coming towards you. Okay, I better close the lid of the laptop, shut everything down. No, me. or you get caught in the act. That's about the only way. If you're into the rituals phase, by the time you're no longer thinking you're actually doing something, you're pretty much kind of, you're going to act out, unless somebody intervenes on you. And then you do the acting out, whatever your behavior is. What comes out of that after you come back to sanity in life? What comes out of that? Guilt. Is guilt a good thing or a bad thing? Depends on what? I heard that. Go ahead and speak up, Mike. Actually, I would say if you tie guilt to behaviors, which is what it's intended to do, guilt is an okay thing. Hopefully it leads you to repentance. That's its intention. Shame, on the other hand, says you're bad, you're defective, you're broke, you're not worth anything. Those are the shame messages that Pat was talking about last week. Amen. I'm not lovable. For some, I'm a monster. I've gotten totally off my notes. Give me a minute and let me catch up. Yeah. How about this? I'm not a Christian. I'm worthless. I don't deserve forgiveness. Those are some of the shame messages. Unlike guilt, which is tied to a, well, don't act out or don't do whatever you do. Shame is about the whole person. I'm all bad in some ways. Those can come from the messages we also learned growing up, whether they were overt in telling us that or whether we picked it up just by seeing how we were treated. So that's what they refer to as toxic shame. We're inherently bad and defective. And these shame messages hit us when we act out, and then we need to soothe them or make those feelings go away. So what's the natural thing to go do to soothe this discomfort? Go back into the acting out cycle. I want to do some more because now it's no longer just a trigger. I've also got the shame and the guilt of what I've just done, and I want to go do some. You can get yourself pulled into doing some more. Now, it doesn't mean that you're living every single day at every single moment, you know, just running around on this treadmill. You can if you stay addicted long enough. Your obsession of overthinking about what you're doing can get rise to the level that you literally are spending a lot of time thinking about this, and you're spending a lot of time in preoccupation. But most of us don't live there, particularly if you've been in recovery for a bit, so you're more apt to get hit by the triggers. Now, even if you don't act out on a regular basis, what can happen is these things mount up. You don't deal with them. Oh, before I get into that, let me finish the last one. So I actually brought a red pointer, but it seems a little odd to keep turning my back on you, so I won't do it. So the connect to God, it's up at the top. The one exit besides somebody intervening on you is connect to somebody else. By the way, what's New Life's big thing? What are they all about?
Connection.
Connect to God, connect to self, connect to others. Usually, as you're starting out, it's connect to others and connect to God. Surrender, I think Lee talked about earlier this evening, surrendering to God, your behaviors. But often, because of the triggers, you need to go talk to somebody else. And deal with, by the way, the shame messages, the three I's, the feelings, and talk about those. All right. So that's the acting out cycle. So let's go on to the next one, the acting in cycle. So let's say we're triggered, we're preoccupied. Oh, by the way, in 2014, I acted out 4 times in the single year. I'd been in recovery for like about 9 years by then. I owned it. I told my accountability partner. I told my accountability team. I told my counselor. I told my wife. I did all the things you were supposed to do, except I acted out 4 times. Telling them all that stuff didn't stop me from doing anything. Didn't stop the next acting out. Fortunately, my wife is a lot smarter than I, and she said, "You need to do something different," because obviously what I was doing was not working. And fortunately, I'd gone to EMB before I started my recovery, so she recommended, hey, or I don't know which of us thought of it. She did. go back to EMB. What's that? Oh, what's EMB? Every Man's Battle. It's where all this material came from. So I went back to that, and they threw in this part, which I'd never heard of, the acting in. You've heard of acting out, perhaps, if nothing else, tonight. Acting in is kind of similar, but not related. That didn't come out right. it's similar. So you've got the acting out cycle on that side. And you've got, after you've gone through that, you've got, oh, that's the funny part. If you look over there, it's complete. If you look up here, there's only a piece of it. All right, so if you've gone through the acting in cycle, what do you have? You have guilt and shame from just acting out. You also got the triggers. So the feeling stirred up by the triggers. And then you've got real legitimate needs. The triggers actually need to be dealt with somehow or another. So that's okay. It's good. It's actually helpful for me. So the acting in part, you act in. So let's do this. Everybody, stick your arms out straight like this. Okay. Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead. Try it. It won't hurt. Okay, and now twist around and see how many people you smack. This, okay, maybe not appropriate, but it's a great picture. It's a great picture of acting in, which is pushing everybody out. I'm not going to let anybody close. I'm not going to tell you what I'm struggling with. I'm never going to make a phone call and tell you I need help. Why would we do something? Oh, by the way, here's the other acting. This is the other one besides this one. This is my favorite. That's the, I'm going to act in, and I'm going to run you over, by the way. So all you type A's would like this one rather than this one. All right. I never did karate, but I watched the movie. All righty. So, acting in. Why would we do this, keep everybody away? It's safer. It's, what's the last part?
It puts yourself in a box.
It puts you in a box. It's safe. What's that?
Under it is shame.
Under it is shame. What'd you say?
Comfort.
Comfort. Wait. It provides comfort?
Yes.
Comfort.
If, okay, so it's, let me put it this way. It's more comfortable because there's no risk involved. There's no vulnerability required. I don't have to share anything of myself. What's the problem with that, though? I got legitimate needs, and if I can't meet them in myself, if I don't know how to self-soothe myself other than acting out or pushing everybody away, what am I left with? You're left with 3 minutes. Too bad. Too bad in the sense that it's not enough time, but I'll wrap it up. So acting in is pushing everybody away. So, but what do you really need to do? What do you really need? Wait, what'd you say? I'll put it, invite safe people in. I heard somebody else mumble something.
Knock the walls down?
Yeah. How about I need to be heard? I'll put it as a different way. Holding time. I need comfort. I need somebody to talk to these three eyes that I may or may not even know that they're there and have somebody say, that's not true. Or I just need, maybe I just need somebody to hold me. I totally lost track of where I was at. All right. What's that? To be continued. Let me end with this. There's a better approach. And that's actually connecting with other people. Life happens, intimacy. We learn to call somebody. We learn to ask for help. It's the hardest thing, almost anybody in this room, because we've probably grown used to the idea of, I don't want anybody, because nobody was ever safe enough for me to talk to when I was growing up. A lot of people hurt me, so it's natural to close in. But if you learn how to connect, sponsor, accountability team, the step studies, you're doing it in the open share group in a small way, you're starting a little bit of vulnerability, and nobody's talking back to you and saying you're a clod. They're just accepting it and listening to you. You're starting that path, but when you get triggered, you may need somebody with skin on to talk to, and you got to develop the habit to do that. We'll talk about that the next time I get up here, which will probably, at this rate, it'll be next year sometime. No, it won't be. All right. So thanks for listening, folks. Oh, wait. That part. Yeah, I have no clue, so you're on.